And again, look forward to what God has for us in His Word today. Mentioned, talk about getting out into the yard and so on. It was about a year and a half ago, late summer of 2016, we planted a redbud tree near the front corner of our house over there. And we watered it and we staked it, got it ready for winter, got thinking, you know, it's kind of fragile, so we staked it so that the winter winds wouldn't tear it apart and so on. And lo and behold, last spring, it had about three little red buds on it. And we're like, yes, hey, this is great. And then it got some leaves on the branches and so on. We thought, that's pretty cool. And then through the summer, they kind of got wimpy. You know, the leaves were kind of started sagging and started, you know, looking kind of anemic. And we're like, man, I don't know if this tree's going to make it or not. And so this spring is going to be a time of assessment. Is she going to make it, or are we just going to have to cut it down? Well, this morning is an opportunity for you to make an assessment, a spiritual assessment, as we continue in our study through the book of Matthew. And I really, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew 13. I really want you to think this morning, because it would be tempting to say, you know what? I've heard a message like this before. I've heard messages on this passage before. But I really want to encourage you to think about what God may have for you as we go through this passage here today. Today we head into Matthew 13. It's a chapter of parables. And you might say, well, what is a parable? Well, a parable is a true-to-life story that is for the purpose of teaching a specific principle of or truth. So when you come to the Scriptures, you need to understand that a parable in the Word of God teaches a spiritual truth, a specific spiritual truth that God wants you to know or understand. So here's some things to remember when you're studying the parables, and as we even head into this chapter. First of all, a parable is a story that is true to life. And it's designed, again, to illustrate a point. It's true to life. In other words, Jesus, in the parable we're going to look at here today, is not talking about a specific farmer. He's talking about general agricultural principles by telling a story that is true to life, something to which everyone, by and large, can relate. It would be like saying, hey, let's say you're watching your children play in the backyard and one of the kids falls and gets hurt. Now, it's not something that necessarily just happened, but it's something that we all have seen at one time or another. You see kids out playing and they fall and get hurt, so you run to help them. And so it's a true-to-life story like that, not necessarily something that just happened in a specific incident. But it happens, right? And by the way, when you read accounts Jesus is telling you through His Word, if He uses a name, it's not a parable. He's talking about a specific account. For example, the rich man and Lazarus. You think of when He uses a name, it's a true account of something that happened. When He says the rich man and Lazarus, He is talking about a specific individual that really experienced what He's talking about. That's not a parable. Some people try to make, for example, that account a parable, which was a true-to-life, general life story. Other thing to remember about parables is don't make every little aspect of a parable mean something. Some details are in parables just to help convey the story in order to illustrate the point. So those are just some things to remember as we launch into a study on some of the parables of Jesus. And by and large, the parables in this chapter deal with the kingdom of heaven. But we're going to begin with Matthew chapter 13. We're looking at verses 1 through 23. All right, here we go. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about Him so that He got into the boat and sat down. In other words, he was out by the sea, on the seashore, enjoying the day. And people started gathering around. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And there were so many people, they started pressing in on Him. And so the whole crowd stood on the beach, and so He got into a boat and sat down. So He wanted to get kind of out so that people could see Him and hear Him. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, verse 3, and he told them many things in parables, saying, and this is the first one, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So, Jesus is beginning to teach agricultural principles. Right? Well, let's keep looking. The disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them? Who's them? That's the fickle crowd. It included the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you, my disciples, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law had already rejected Jesus. Remember, back in chapter 12, they attributed the works of Satan to Jesus, or his works to Satan. The way he was doing these things was by the devil. And so they rejected Jesus and his message. Verse 12. For to the one who has, you, my disciples, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, those who had rejected Jesus, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears they can hardly hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and I turn and turn and I would heal them. The point being that they, those who had rejected Jesus, would see Jesus before their very eyes, hear with their very ears, and yet still reject him. And so Jesus would not minister to them in their unbelief. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, as he speaks to his disciples. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous peoples long to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. He's talking about the Old Testament prophets who said, there is a Messiah coming one day. We look forward to that day. But they never physically, personally saw Jesus. But Jesus was right before them, right before the disciples. Man, how exciting was that? And then Jesus would now explain the parable of the sower. Verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Here's your take-home thought this morning. And that is, the way in which you receive God's word reveals your heart. The way in which you receive God's word reveals your heart, which then determines your fruitfulness. You receive the word, it reveals your heart, but it determines whether you're going to be fruitful or not. And there's a sense in which the way you receive God's word determines your destiny. Because if you do not receive the word of God appropriately, as we will learn, then you will face eternal consequences. So let's look at the fruitless heart. The fruitless hearts, verse 19. Here's some examples here that Jesus gives in this text. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. This is the hard-packed, indifferent soil. This is hard-packed, indifferent soil. This is the individual who's skeptical. I don't know if you've done much work in a garden or anything. When I was a kid, my parents planted a huge garden. I mean, it had to be a couple miles long. I mean, this thing was just, it was just a huge garden, and we, the kids, we had to go out and we had to weed the garden every day, except Sunday. We didn't have to do it on Sunday. We'd go out and we'd weed the garden, and every once in a while, we'd have our hose out there, and my brothers and I, we'd get out there, and you know, we didn't like it, but some days it was muddy. It was wet. It rained overnight. Still got to go out and weed the garden, you know. Taskmaster, you know. And anyway, so we would be out there hoeing, and man, it would be so wet and sloppy and muddy that we'd come out and my shoes were, you know, five times bigger because of all the mud, you know. But we still had to weed. And the next day we would go back out, and if the sun had come out and it dried it up, man, that soil was so hard. It was like rock. You've seen soil like that. You know, you maybe a tractor path or a hiking path, you know, you just walk on, walk and walk and walk, and it just gets packed down. And so that if there was any seed that is sown, that it, if it just, and they would broadcast seed in that day, they just broadcast. And if the seed landed on that hard-packed soil, it would just bounce along and stop, and then it would be vulnerable, and the birds would come along and snatch it away. And what you have here is you have a picture of the Word of God being the seed, being sown on that hard-packed soil of one's heart, hard heart. And God's Word exposed to the hardened heart, and it's easily snatched away by the evil one. And there are those, and there may be even someone here today, who has a hard-packed heart. You can hear the Word of God. You hear what we're saying, but you're disinterested or you're skeptical and kind of can care less about what's going on here. You're just here because you have to be here. And it makes no difference to you. You know, there are many people who are indifferent to the Scriptures. They just could care less. It doesn't have any impact on their lives. In one ear, out the other. And if you have a hardened heart here this morning, you're probably skeptical, disinterested, not really engaged in what's being communicated here today. Like I said, it's going in one ear and out the other. When's this guy going to get done talking so we can go to dinner or go watch the ball game, right? My appeal to you is to allow the Holy Spirit of God to break through the soil of your hardened heart and allow the seed of God's Word to enter into your heart and to germinate so that it would grow. Begin listening attentively. And even by me saying that, you might just go, oh, he's talking to me. That's a good thing. And start engaging in what God wants for you and allow the Holy Spirit to plow the hardness of your heart. And you say, well, man, I just don't know it. I don't understand it. Well, just start reading. And here's what I would encourage you to do. Start reading the book of John. Because the book of John is going to tell you who Jesus is and why He came and what's so important about all of that. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that's how God works, is through His Word. And so, regardless of how hard your heart may be, God can plow through the soil of that hard heart. And here's another thing. Believers, you might say, oh, I've heard all this before and it doesn't apply to me. Well, here's how it would apply to you here this morning. And that would, at least in one way, pray for those who may be here with a hard heart. There are those who listen online. Pray for the ones who may hear online and may have a hard heart. And pray that God, that their heart would soften to receive the Word of God. Look at verse 20. And as what was sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the Word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the Word, immediately he falls away. Did you realize that? You know, Jesus isn't just talking about agricultural principles. He's talking about how one receives the Word. And here in this case, it's a stony heart. It is an emotional heart. And oftentimes, rocky soil has this thin layer of soil on the top. It may even look fertile, but if you step on it, it easily moves. Back when I did a lot of rock climbing, I ran into this kind of stuff. You'd walk across the top of a cliff and, whoa, you know, you're walking along and you get this nice green growth there and you walk and it slips and you're like, whoa, man, whew, I'm glad I'm not too close to the edge of the cliff. I might fall. And because there's just this little thin layer of soil on the top, and it's nice and lush and green, but the only thing that grows there is moss, right? You step on it, and if anything else starts to grow, it doesn't last long because there's just not enough richness of that soil. It's not fertile. And anything that does grow, it springs up quickly, it has shallow roots. It withers quickly when the storms come along or when the sun dries it out. And it's a picture of the difficulties that arise. This individual tends to be the first one down the aisle. Oh, yes, I want to give everything to Jesus. Very emotional, very outwardly repentant, and yet is quickly discouraged and falls away. This individual tends to look for instant spirituality as opposed to spiritual growth through sanctification and the process, the time and effort. Isn't that what a seed, what happens with the seed? It takes time, right? It takes waiting. And doesn't it just all of a sudden spring up all the time? And in this situation, there's no depth. And beneath the emotions, there's a hardness of a stubborn will. If that tends to describe you, say, man, you know, I've gone forward in so many services, or I've prayed, and I've asked for God's help, and it just doesn't seem to take. Use this as a point of evaluation. And say, where's the stubbornness of my will? And evaluate this. This is a time for assessment. To think, okay, where am I regarding the soils? There's not a willingness here to stick with the enduring truths of God's Word. There's little to no outward nourishment evidenced by being overcome by outward circumstances. And outward circumstances should cause the true Christian to mature and grow. Someone put it this way: what withers the root strengthens the rooted. Isn't that good? What withers the root strengthens the rooted. If this describes you, allow the convicting power of God's Spirit to reach deep into your heart. And realize that the Christian life is not a sprint, but a marathon. And as soon as I say that, many of you are thinking of Tim McDaniel as he ran the Boston Marathon this last Monday. Isn't that, how cool is that? I had opportunity to sit down Wednesday night and just chatted with Tim, and he said it was like running through a car wash. I mean, it was just rained the whole time, you know. But as I talked with him, he's talking, and I had looked at his numbers, and Tim, I apologize, I meant to get those numbers from you, but the consistency of his pace was inspiring. I mean, just seconds from the pace of his first mile to his 26th mile. It's like, oh my goodness, just seconds of differentiation. He just plotted. That's the way it is with the Christian life. We just put our hearts into it and just keep on going and just pace yourself as you go along. That's a great description of the Christian walk, the Christian life. It's a marathon. Put it this way, into every life a little rain must fall. And some of you are like, rain, I mean, I'm talking about hurricanes in my life, you know. But the question, are you standing? Are you standing strong through that hurricane? Or whatever challenge that you are facing? Pace yourself by the enduring power of God's Word through the good times as well as through the challenges. Look at verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the Word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word, and it proves unfruitful. This is the thorny soil. It indicates a double-mindedness. In this situation, the soil is abundant. There's all kinds of fertile soil. The problem is that the soil is, listen, preoccupied. Maybe you're here this morning and you are so influenced by the world around you that you are overcome by worldly ways, the ways of the world. You are preoccupied by the things of the world. And natural things come first. And now it may not be, and oftentimes is not necessarily, you know, bad things. There are some, maybe some here, you are preoccupied by some really sinful stuff of the world. There's hope for you to change through Jesus Christ. But oftentimes, and as Christians, we need to guard against this too, but oftentimes it's not the real bad stuff. It's just maybe the busyness of your schedule. Man, when I was at school at Cedarville, clear back then, you'd ask somebody, hey, how's it going? Oh, busy. Oh, busy, busy. Busy, 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 busy. Everybody's busy all the time. It's just everybody's busy. I'm like, man, stop and smell the roses. You know? I just back then I was like, yeah, there are gonna be busy times in my life, but man, I want to make sure that I don't allow the busyness to crowd out that which is most important. And I hear it all the time, even today. How you doing? Oh, man, we're busy. So, but the busyness, you got to guard against that keeping you from that which is most important, and that's your relationship with God and biblical priorities. These kinds of things come up. It may be a ball game. I don't know if I enjoy right now watching the Reds, but they're really struggling. But anyway, but I got to thinking, you know, they're, what, 168 games? Is that how many they play? 162 in the regular season. It's like 162 times 3 or 4 hours. And if I watch, you know, even half of those, look at the hours of time watching a ball game that has no eternal consequence. Now, I'm not saying don't watch ball games, okay? You know, I plan to watch some ball games. But so often I talk to people and say, hey, are you spending time in the Word of God? Oh, man, you know, I just can't seem to find the time. Think about it. It may not be that which is bad necessarily, but even those good things can crowd out that which is best. It may be your hobby, whatever your hobby is. You know, the weather's breaking, man. It's getting kind of nice. We want to get outdoors. And I'm not saying don't get outdoors. I'm looking forward to it. But don't allow your hobby to keep you from that which is most important, your relationship with God. Maybe you have a friend who calls and says, hey, let's go to a movie, or let's do this, or let's do that. All right, evaluate that in light of your biblical priorities. It may just be a nap. You know? Maybe your favorite television program. Maybe an opportunity to make some extra money. He talks about riches in this passage, doesn't he? Someone once said that promotion could be the greatest detriment to your relationship with God. Evaluate that promotion in light of priorities. Because oftentimes a promotion means more time at the office and more travel and more. And again, I'm not saying that's bad, but you need to just evaluate that in light of your priorities. The things of this world can strangle you to keep you from that which is most important. And you name it, and it can keep you from the reading and studying of the Word of God, attending church. How many times have you gotten up and somebody called or something came up or you just didn't feel right and you just, let's just not go today. Or life group. Or serving at home. Serving the Lord through the ministry here or serving in the community. These things can press in on us and keep us from, again, the priorities that God sets forth in His words. The weeds of the world crowd out and ultimately strangle the important things of God. That's what's going on in this text. The thorny soil is unfruitful. Matthew chapter 7 says that you are known by your fruit. The thorns and the weeds choke out the seed. And for some reason, thorns and weeds seem to grow faster than the good crops, don't they? I mean, I remember, you know, Dad would plant that garden and, you know, it would just seem like forever before we saw the beans come up or before we saw the tomatoes or, you know, it just seemed to take forever. But the weeds came up every day. I like that lawn care commercial that says, if you give a weed an inch, it will take a yard. Isn't that good? To give a weed an inch, it'll take a yard. And I'm like, that's exactly the truth. And so when you look at these soils, when you look at the hard-packed soil, you look at the stony soil, you look at the thorny soil, these are fruitless. They don't last. They don't produce any lasting fruit. And Jesus says in John chapter 15 that without fruit, John chapter 15 and verse 6, without fruit, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. There isn't any fruit. It's worthless. So examine your heart as to the reality of your salvation. That's a takeaway from looking at these three unfertile soils. Examine your heart as to the reality of your salvation. It gives you cause to pause to make a spiritual assessment. Where are you in all of this? So let's look at the fruitful heart. All right, fruitful hearts. A fruitful heart is an evidence of your salvation. If you're here today and you're trying to make an assessment, then you ought to be asking yourself, okay, am I bearing fruit? We'll talk about what that means here in just a few moments. But it's an evidence of salvation. Bearing fruit does not indicate or does not make you saved, but it's an evidence. Look at verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. It makes a difference. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. I didn't get this in your notes. It's my bad. And that is, the fruitful heart, first of all, is fertile, meaning receptive. It's fertile. It's receptive. Here you have the seed, the Word of God, falling on good, fertile soil. And this is the only soil out of these four soils. It's the only soil that is productive. It's the only soil that bears fruit. It's the individual who receives the Word and has surrendered in true repentance and salvation. You say, oh God, I cannot continue to do this on my own, in my own way. I'm going to put off the ways of the world, and I'm turning to you. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm turning to you in salvation through Jesus Christ. And as a result of salvation, listen, as a result of salvation, lives to fulfill his or her purpose, which is to bring glory to God and take delight in living in such a way as to bear and reflect the image of God. That's why you were created. The chief end of man is to praise God and enjoy him forever. And that results in bearing fruit to His honor and glory. So let's look at some qualities now of that fertile, receptive soil. A fertile heart, first of all, is prepared. You look forward to the reading, the hearing, the studying of the Word of God. I remember when you think of prepared soil, that 4 mile, 5 mile long garden that my dad planted. That was supposed to be funny. Okay. Well, anyway, and it was just, and it's like, ah, oh, but Dad would get out there and he would prepare that. And it's like, he'd have the rototiller and just back up and down. And he would make it like powder. And then he'd take the hoe and he'd take the corner of the hoe and he would carefully, and he had stakes and he had string, and he'd make sure he made the rows all real straight. And then he'd plant the seeds, and then we would have to come behind and we'd pack it down, but not too tight, you know. But it was prepared soil, fertile soil that was prepared to receive the seed. That's a picture of what Jesus wants for you as you receive His Word. You look forward to reading, to hearing, to studying the Word of God. You anticipate, you prepare your heart and look forward to Sundays where you say, I wonder what God has for me through His Word here today as the pastor ministers His Word to us and the Holy Spirit ministers the Word to our hearts. Wonder, you look forward with anticipation to that. Get excited about it. Or even on your daily time with God and His Word. You take time, you set aside time, you make time for that. You're like, okay, I don't want to miss it. I want to get to this because I want to see what God has for me through His Word here today. It's prepared. You have the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 119. Listen to this. As you set aside time to read and hear and study the Word of God, listen to the attitude of the psalmist. Verse 16, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your Word. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your law. Verse 24, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Why would you spend any time at any kind of secular therapist out there when you have the counsel of the Word of God right there before you? His Word is your delight. He says in verse 47, I delight in your commands because I love them. In verse 129, your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. And you obey the Word of God because you love God and you love His Word. It's like, wow, look at how God is blessed as I put His Word into practice. So you have this prepared heart. It's not only prepared, but it's receptive. And what I'm going after there is it's an understanding heart. You're open to what God teaches you through His Word, and you seek to understand and apply the Bible to your life. So you're receptive, you're prepared, you want to hear what God has to say, you're ready for it, which means you're teachable. As someone who's teachable, you're ready and willing to change in light of what God teaches you, even though it may be difficult. You don't sit here on a Sunday morning or as you're reading God's Word throughout the week and make excuses for your sin. You're saying, you know what? I'm gonna do what God wants me to do. And it may be hard, it may be difficult, but I'm going to change in light of what God says here in His Word. And so you seek to understand, apply the Word to life. And you're ready to confess and repent and take steps toward changing. And you trust in God to enable you to do that. You're saying, oh, God, I don't know how I can overcome fill in the blank. Anger, lust, worry, fear, greed, whatever it may be. You say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm open to what You have in Your Word. Teach me. And I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will enable me to overcome with Your power and strength. You're teachable. And then finally, as a result, you're fruitful. Verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the Word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. The point being that God's Word takes such root in your heart and life that it grows. And your life becomes productive. You know, isn't it so much greater than just marking time? A lot of people, they're in a grind. You know, everything's just the same old, just all the way through. No, when you're taking God's Word and you're putting it into practice in your life, it makes a difference. And you begin to bear fruit. The productivity referenced here is a life that bears the image of God in such a way that there's no question that God is the originator of life, of that fruit. For example, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Dale or whatever your name is. It's not your fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit as He works in your heart through your fertile heart through His Word. And then the Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. So you begin to evidence that fruit in your life. It's like, wow. Man, before I was saved, I just hated everybody. I saw a T-shirt the other day. It said something about, it said, hate, you know, kind of the way life should go or something. I don't know. It was just, you know, hate. Maybe you're just a grumpy and hateful. But when you surrender to God and salvation, it's like, yes. So you start growing in love and joy, peace, long-suffering, and you start focusing in on those things. And you ask God to help you grow in those areas. Another area in Philippians chapter 1. Verses 9 through 11. And this is Paul. Paul praying for the believers. He says, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." That's fruitfulness. "So that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." You become fruitful. And a fruitful heart is the heart of a learner. You're receptive and desire to learn from the Word of God. A fruitful heart is the heart of a learner. Not merely a heart that learns knowledge. But remember Matthew 7, 24. And Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You hear these words of Jesus and you put them into practice. And so the challenge here this morning is to assess your heart and say, where am I? Do I have any hardness of heart? Do I allow things to the circumstances of life to wipe me out? Am I allowing the things of the world to crowd me in to keep me from that which is most important, and that's my relationship with God? Or do I have a fertile heart, a receptive heart that is bearing fruit to the glory of God? James 1:22 says, "Don't be merely a hearer of the word only. Do what it says. Put it into practice." And here in Matthew 13, Jesus is appealing to your heart to receive His Word, allowing it to fall in the fertile soil of your heart. And I trust you'll do that here today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would work in every heart here this morning. And I pray, Father, that You would help us to be attentive to the, if I could say, plowing work of the Spirit as Your Word has been ministered, it has been sown, Father, that it would take root in fertile soil. With heads bowed and eyes closed, there's probably some evidence of all four kinds of soils here. It's my prayer that your heart would be fertile. If it's not, this is an opportunity. It's not by accident that you're here today. This is an opportunity for you to assess your heart and make changes in light of the Word of God. God, the Holy Spirit, is at work here today. And He wants you to come unto Him and to receive His Word here today. I don't know how God may be working in your heart, but we'd like to pray for you. We'd encourage everyone to fill out a connection card there from the pew in front of you, or you can go online to our website or use the YouVersion and fill out a connection card there. And in a moment, we're going to take an offering. And I mentioned earlier that we're taking an offering so that we can continue the ministry here through First Baptist Church, the ministry of FBC. Give faithfully. Also consider our mission emphasis giving. We're going to keep that open through the end of May. We really want to help our missionaries in some significant ways. So consider that in your giving as well. But we'd like for you to place your connection card in the offering plate. And we'd like to pray with you about those things. And when Jeremy asked us to stand to sing, if you'd like someone to pray with you today, I'll be down front here. Just welcome to slip out. I'll reach down front. I'll have someone take you aside and pray with you. Or after the service, I'll be in the back as well, and I'd love to talk to you about your walk with the Lord. Father, work in all of our hearts. May we desire to allow you, through your word, to plant the seed of your word, that it may grow and be productive to your glory. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name.